There's probably a lot of people who would hear this and be like, you're out of your mind. But I believe that God created music for the sole purpose of it being used to worship Him, to connect people, the human heart, our soul, with heaven. We're doing all of this so that one person somewhere that I might never meet actually gets to experience God in a new way and a true way.
You know, you see people around all the time and they are searching, people are searching. Because I have friends that do a 9-to-5 job and then they go out on the weekends, get smashed. They've actually said, there's got to be more than this. And I'm like, there is.
Jesus loves you. It's like you have the most valuable thing and you know people need it, but they don't know they need it. It sounds really weird, right? It sounds like this, like whatever. You need Avon, but you just don't know you need it. But
feeling stressed out, so that's great. It's the best place to be.
Do you want to flip Northern Ireland broken vessel?
Yep.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for your grace, Lord God. We thank you.
God's love is so great that you can't fully understand it. Yeah, sure, it doesn't make sense, but trying to make the most unnormal thing become normal is like, I guess, the adventure.
So for the next 5 weeks, we're going to take on worship, what it means to worship. And we're going to take clips from a movie. And Hillsong United had made a movie. And this is an incredible movie that they've been put out. And it is called Let Hope Rise. And Hillsong is so widely known and very popular that in any given Sunday, there's 50 million churchgoers who are singing their songs. And that's amazing to me. So the next 5 weeks, we're going to take looks at clips, and we're going to look at different directives and different ways that we can worship and through five different lenses. So there's going to be five different speakers that are going to come up here and talk. And we're going to explore what it means to have a heart of worship and what it means to worship God. And we're going to encourage worship in different parts of our lives. And there's a theme scripture that this whole series is wrapped around. And I would love for you guys to go ahead and pull out your Bibles, even if your phones, if you got them. And we're going to be in Mark 12. And so this scripture here encompasses what we're going to be talking about, what we're going to be exploring, because there's five different things that we're going to talk about. And so we're in Mark 12, and verses 28, all the way to verses 31. And it says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. And asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And this is Jesus talking here. It says, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this. So this is the scripture that we're going to take in the next 5 weeks, and we're going to look at, and we're going to discuss, and we're going to see how this scripture will impact ourselves, impact our lives, and a life of worship of God. And at this time, these leaders, these religious leaders, are talking to Jesus, and are asking him several different things. And we're going to point to several different directives. And the first one I'm going to look at, and if you've got your notes with me, and the first fill-in is the heart. We're going to worship and worship God with our heart. So in verse 30, love the Lord God with all your heart. Now at this time in history, the Bible scholars have made up 600 different rules to follow. That's a lot of rules, right? It'd be kind of hard to follow. So they end up taking rules that are major and minor. And then Jesus was like, yeah, these are rules, but there's something you're missing here. And he made it very, very clear. He wanted to communicate the most important thing is not keeping the rules. The most important thing is your heart. He says, not interested in behavior. He's not interested in things that you're doing. is interested in your heart. And so he's communicating the most in two important things. I'll call it the big two. Relationship with God, relationship with people. Loving God and loving people. And this is what he's telling you. Of all the rules that you have, there's 613 of them to be exact. The most important thing is people and relationship with them and their hearts. Relationship with God and relationship with people. So worship, guys, is not about rules. It's not about if you put your hands up, put your hands down, or if you're going to kneel or bow. Worship is about relationship. And what sits at the throne of your heart, because it sets the posture and the allegiance and your dependence in something. And what worship communicates is what we love the most. We all worship something, but the question is, what are we worshiping? Worshiping God is so important because worship is love expressed. You can put worship as this, worth-ship. What you put your worth into expresses what's important to you. What you put your attention and your affection into. Worship, what you give worth to get out of your attention and your affection. Whatever you love the most has your heart. There's this pastor. He was born in the late 1800s, and he passed away in the 60s. And he said something. He's a writer and a pastor. He said something that was really good. His name is A.W. Tozer. And he said this. God is trying to call us back to that for which he created us, to worship him and enjoy him forever. Guys, did you know that God created us to worship him? And when a creating being doesn't fulfill what he is intended to do, you become hopeless. There's a sense of lack of identity. Your purpose becomes useless. Have you ever tried to take a nail and nail it with something other than a hammer? Like if you take Jell-O and you try to hammer a nail, like we call it a Jell-O hammer, and you start trying to nail that nail, yeah, that's not going to work very well, right? Because Jell-O wasn't created to hammer a nail. And you need to become really frustrated because you're using something that wasn't its intended purpose. So sometimes we become frustrated. We have this hopelessness, this lack of identity. And many of us walk around here because we start loving things and worshiping things other than what we were created to do. And what we were created to do? To worship God. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, it says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us had turned to our own way." I can say that myself. I've done that stuff. "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So we've left God's path. We've left the things that God has set for us, and we started following him. And guess what? God was like, "All I want was your heart. All I want is a relationship with you. All I want is to know you." And he's eager to know us. He's eager for us to have the relationship with him. And eager for us to love with him. A heart and true relationship with God. And that's where real true worship comes from. I like to refer back to the video clips here from Hillsong. There's two people in there. And they were saying some things that was really important to me. And it hits point on a certain things. And actually, it makes my second point. Joel Houston and Taya Smith. Joel Houston said something, and he says, "We do this so that people's heart can be connected to God." So people were asking, why is a worship team, local worship team in Australia, make a video? Because they realize there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect between God and us. And they realize that. And he says, "We want this connection to be there again with him." And we say, "Oh, we do this. We make a video. We worship. We create this so we can bring people's hearts back to Christ." He says, "We do this so people's heart can be connected to God." And Taya Smith talked about her friend. And her friends were going out, and they were getting smashed. And getting smashed, if you don't know what it means, you're getting so drunk that you start talking to the pole and make conversations with the pole. "I love you, pole. You're my best friend, pole." I've never talked to a pole, just to let you guys know. So the second one is people are disconnected and searching. And so she said, her friend was like, "There's got to be more than this." And she says, there is. People are disconnected. They don't know who Christ is. People are searching. They want to know who he is. And as Christ followers, as Christ believers, we're here to call to help people understand who he is, his love, the impact he has in our lives. And this disconnect needs to be restored. The disconnect happened when sin was there. So sin is put in front of us. And it took us away from God. Whatever sin we have in our life disconnects us from Christ. And a lot of times our society is so unbelieving and so perverse. It's because we're connected more to what the world has for us than we are with Christ, with God. And we feel empty, and then we start searching, and we're like, we need something more. And it brings me to my third point, is understanding God's love and grace. And that's like an adventure, to understand God's love and grace. It doesn't make sense to us. And it's a challenge for a lot of people. And so it seems just so unnatural that God can love us so much and he has so much grace over us because the things that we have done in our lives that no one should be forgiving and no one should be loving us for, because a lot of times we don't love ourselves for it. But God's like, you know, I love you anyways. It's so unnatural for people to understand that. So they end up pushing it away. Like, no, that can't be right. And we need to call and tell them and let them know the unconditional God of Christ. Because Christ and God loves us so much that God was like, I am going to give you my only son. Because he wants that relationship with you. He wants our hearts with him. He loves us so much that I'm going to give you my son. And Christ understood this too. And he sacrificed himself to die on the cross for us. Because he wanted that relationship with God himself. He wanted us to have the relationship with him. Because God loves us so much. He wants our hearts. He wants what's right with us. He wants us to be whole with him. He wants us to prosper with him. And so our mission is to call people and let people know who Christ is. The church's mission statement, on the back wall of their side, it says we are called to impact our world with the truth and love of Jesus Christ. Because what the world needs is Jesus Christ and impact him and to have his heart and heart with him. So how do we help people in loving and worshiping Jesus? Mark 12:30 says, love God with all your heart. Love God with all your heart. Now, you guys might agree with me that it's one thing to say that and to say something, and it's another thing to entirely experience it, right? Yeah. I could tell you I love my wife. She is amazing, and she does great things. But you guys won't know that until you have an experience with her, until you sit with her, and to experience her greatness. And that's the same thing with Christ and God. You don't fully understand it until you have that experience with him. And the only way to have these experiences is to have an encounter with him. And a relationship with God means true love and true worship. So an experience is a particular instance that you personally encounter and undergo something with him. God always desires a personal experience with every single one of you. He wants that. He longs for that. God's not just a person to be studied. He's a person to enjoy, to love. There's three stories I'm going to talk about that's in the Bible that goes along with experiences. And the beauty about experiences is that it doesn't matter what you're going through because Christ loves you regardless if you fall and trip or fail. And the first story I'm going to talk about is Moses. Moses, you can learn a lot of different things from him in his story. And he tripped and failed and didn't understand what his calling was either until he had an experience with Christ, with God. And the story you might know, we tell it a lot in children's ministry, but it's found in Exodus. And he had a life-changing experience with God. It's in Exodus 3, if you guys want to follow with me. Exodus 3, verse 2. And it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Yeah, that's an experience, right? Moses saw that the bush was on fire and it did not burn up. This is where Moses had an experience with God and started his first relationship with him. God was calling him to a higher calling, a higher leadership, and he didn't understand that until he started having a relationship with God. They had face-to-face talks and conversations, just like we can have face-to-face conversations with him too. And these relationships don't happen overnight. They're forged through experiences and conversations. In Exodus 33:11, it says the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. So it's not even as an authority figure. It's a friend. He's talking with us. And it's communication. And he wants to know how Moses is doing. And he's letting Moses know what he's got for him. And Moses is telling him in his heart too, God, this is what's happening with me. And I need you. And I don't know how to do this. Especially when he fails. He's like, God, help me with this. It's a relationship. It was a friendship with him. And relationships aren't fast-tracked, like the relationship I have with my wife. It's not going to be the same relationship, and it's not transferable. It's not going to be the same with you guys until you have time and experience with her. Same with God. The experience and time and friendship and relationship you have with him, it's going to happen over time. It's not going to happen overnight. And he's longing for this. He's longing for your heart, and he wants to be with you and have time with you. Truly life-changing starts with an experience, and it's not based on rules. It's based off of love. The second story is in Daniel. And it's another story that we tell a lot in children's. I don't know if I have these stories because I was in children's ministry or if it's just because I like these stories. I'm not sure. But it's in Daniel. It's with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this story really shows these three Hebrew men of what relationship they had with God. Because they go through some things that most of us would be like, I don't think so. I'd rather take the easy way out. But they had such a strong foundation in God because of the relationship they had with him. They knew who God was, and they knew his heart. So in Daniel 3, verses 16 through 17, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. And this is what's cool. They even say, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God you have set up. But these guys tell me that it's not just the things that we do, but it's also the things that we don't do. They did not bow down. They did not serve a different God because they knew who the true God was. They knew what relationship they had. They knew who God was in them and how strong God was because of the time relationship they spent with him. Their heart was with God. And they did not care. They knew that God was going to get them through that. That's a strong relationship. They trusted him. And once love is revealed in relationship and love is understood, a new desire starts to happen. Things start to change a little bit. We end up wanting to follow his guidance and his rules. We want to do things for him. Like the relationship with my wife, I don't have to do some things she might ask me to do. But because of my relationship with her, I want to do them. I go and do them. And for some reason, I just went to like, you want to do the dishes? No, I don't want to do dishes. Who wants to do the dishes? I don't know why I just went to that. Have you guys ever seen that video on Facebook? Anyways, totally off topic. But then I start wanting to do it. And that's the thing with Christ too. When we have that relationship with him, we want to serve him. We want to do things. We want to not do the wrong things that we might have been doing. We start doing different things different. We are starting to be transformed now. In Romans 12:1-2, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of the world. Do not be transformed. That's the key word right there. Transformed by renewing of your mind. Because now we have a relationship with God. His heart and our heart are connected. God transforms us. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Then we'll be able to worship God with all of our heart, and because our heart is new and regenerated and made new. A heart surrendered to God is a heart that can worship freely. Knowing and being able to do that, being able to freely worship and not caring about what people see and think, you're in the safe area. It's safely worshiping him and allows true worship. And this true worship of being safe happens in my next story. It's in Luke 7. I keep grabbing my water because I want to take a drink. But it's in Luke 7, and it's about the sinful woman. And she's actually a prostitute. I'm not sure why she or how she became one. It might have been that's the card she was dealt, and that's the only way she thought she could make money growing up. I doubt she woke up saying, I want to be the top 2% prostitutes in the valley here. I doubt it. But what Christ does with this woman is she shows her compassion, shows her what true love is, shows her respect. Because at that time, just like now, wives hated her, men disrespected her, they were trash. And what Jesus showed, because he was worried about her heart, wondering what her heart was, showed her what this love was. And it brought her to a point of just surrender. So in Luke 7, verses 37, 38, it says, a woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. The sacrifice that she gave was that alabaster jar. What the alabaster jar was perfume. And that was her investment, her life investment. Because for them, everything that they had went to that perfume because it was like their call sign. They spent lots and thousands of dollars into this because that's how men knew where to find them. They would walk down the streets and they would smell it and then they would be attracted to them. So it was like their advertisement. That's how they made their money. So they invested themselves into it. That's all she had. That's all she is. So she takes this alabaster jar in verse 38. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured her perfume on them. She got to a point because of relationship with Christ that she just surrendered herself to him and said, this is all I am, and this is me worshiping you. And what's great about this is there was no words. There was no music. There was nothing said. It was a pure emotion. And it was all action. Because worship is the posture of your heart. Worship is expression towards God says, my heart is yours. And that is what she had done. She said, you love me so much. This is all I can do. I have nothing left, and I'm giving it to you. If God is at the center of our worship, we understand who he really is. In Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything flows from it. Our heart pumps blood through our body to sustain our body, to keep it life and living. But it also feeds our spirit. It feeds our body and feeds our spirit. Because with Christ's blood that flows through us, and he's the one that gives us life. And he breathes through us. And God says, guard your heart. It's all life. Everything flows from it. To worship God says, I'm yours. And it softens your heart to him. If God wants a relationship with us, with our heart, the question is, how should we respond? He says, I'm here and I want this with you. How should we respond? Moses teaches us to be obedient. He was not a leader. He was not a speaker. But he was obedient with God. And God did amazing things with him because his heart, his relationship was with God. The three Hebrew men, because of where their heart was with God, trusted him. And the sinful woman teaches us to surrender with God. Jesus' love was acted out for us. It was acted out on the cross for us. He showed us he loved us so much that he died for us. Our worship should be acted out as well to him. Loving God with all your heart comes with obedience, trust, and surrender. The worship team's going to head on up here, and we're going to lead into another worship song. And I challenge you guys to seek God. Know who he is. See what his heart is. Have him start transforming you because he gives life. He prospers you. And he wants you to love him, and he wants to love you too. He wants to be in your life to help you and guide you to be through things and through challenging times. What he cares about is you and your heart. I would love for you guys to stand with me as we pray. Go ahead and bow your heads and pray with me, guys. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for wanting a relationship with us, to live life with us, to be with us. We thank you for wanting to go through the hard times with us. We thank you for wanting to help us. I ask, Jesus, that our heart will start to be softened towards you, that we will accept you. Because when sin is there, we start to push you away. But we don't want that to be what disconnects us, Lord. We want that connection with you. I ask that this will be laid on all of our hearts to worship you in the ways that we feel we should be worshiping you. Because it's not about rules. It's about how we want to love you. And if there's someone here that doesn't know who Christ is, that says, "You, I want this love, and I want that sense of purpose, a sense of hopelessness to be taken away. I want Christ." You can have that today. And all you have to say is, "Jesus, I want you into my heart. I want that love. And that you will be my God." And Jesus, bless everyone here. Guide them today and protect them this Sunday until we meet again. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.